player 2 has joined the game.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 355 of the Two Player Co-op Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts here, Kevin, along with my brother from my mother, Sean.
How we doing?
I could go for some sleep, but if this is the first time you're ever seeing, hearing, or listening to us, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to do it. This is a two-player co-op podcast where just about every week, two brothers get together to tell you everything you need to know about in the world of video games. If you like that, make sure you like the video, subscribe, share it with your friends, family, and everyone in betwixt. If you only listen on audio services, that's cool too. Just give us a five-star review or thumbs up or whatever your service allows. Some of our patrons... Wait. If you really like us... I'm falling apart, man. You can tell I'm tired. If you really like us, you can go to patreon.com/twoplayercoop, where we got a lot of different benefits, but the most popular tier is the $5 tier. John forgot to hit play. That's awesome. Is the $5 tier, which lets you watch us record the podcast live on YouTube as we're doing right now. You also get access to a bonus episode every month, which we're going to record right after this. And you get the podcast live one day early in case on Patreon in case you do miss the live recording. Some of our patrons deserve a shout out, just like the man with the bar named after him, Mr. John Tingley, our patron saint. Did I say it twice?
What?
Did I say patron saint twice? Because I don't think I said it at first, so I said it again. As well as our affiliates, Derek Bamford, James Solar. Make sure you check out James Games and more on YouTube. And Mom. As well as our producers, Steve Appleton, Aunt Sue, Dustin Downs, and Chris Peralta. Also, make sure you check out PS Rewind on YouTube as well. Sean.
Yes.
We don't got a lot to talk about this week.
Merch.
But I wanted to... Oh, shit. If you like cool t-shirts and the like, you can go to teespring.com/stores/2playercoop. So the reason I'm completely off my game, I didn't realize this. I must use all the energy I have left working and, like, being aware and, like... doing the right things there. And after that, it's like my body's like, I'm out. I haven't slept in 2 weeks. We got family stuff going on. But I'm questioning if I like this podcast. What? I'm falling apart. That's why. Do you have any witty banter? Because I have stuff to banter about.
I do.
Oh, good.
I took the plunge today. I don't know if you can tell. Something I've been toying with for a while.
What are you doing? Something with your eyes? Because you keep doing...
No, I'm just tired. I got...
Welcome to the family.
Invisalign.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Wait.
I had braces.
Yes.
I didn't wear my retainer.
You had the freaking...
I had the whole thing, and then I never wore my retainer.
Oh, my God.
So, I think what's happened... I think my teeth have moved a little bit, but yeah. I feel like my bottom jaw... Not my jaw, but like my bottom teeth have, like, moved in. Mm. And when I talk, I feel like I'm always, like, biting the side of my tongue. So I asked about Invisalign. I'm like, can you, like, open my bottom teeth up? I'm like, oh, yeah. So anyways, I got it today.
This is day one.
Day one.
How you feeling?
They said it's only going to be... I got 14 trays, 2 weeks each, so 28 weeks, so like 6 months, a little over. It's not bad, and I'm sure I'll get used to it, but oh, I hate it already. It's not painful yet. It's just... It's very...
You got to get used to
it. Noticeable. And the only thing I can think of...
You should have gone through the whole podcast without saying anything, then get to the end and be like, by the way, if I sounded different.
The only thing I can think, like, it's not that big of a deal, but it's the fact that it's 6 months. Mm-hmm. It'd be like having a little bug in your ear. Just...
That's not... I went to the hospital because I had one.
Not literally in your ear, but near your ear. Just, yeah. Like a minor annoyance... But one that you know is going to last
for
a very long time.
For when we do our next random podcast for the bonus episode next month. That's one of my things that I was thinking about talking about is random little annoyances that just drive us freaking insane.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of those.
I got a lot of problems with you people. So Noah got...
And then, Mom Noah mentioned that Noah had them. Like, I don't even remember this. Brittany had it for like a year and a half and like... I remember it. I know that she did, But I don't remember going through a year and a half of her every time she would eat. And like, I don't remember that.
You probably blocked it out.
And I don't know how long Noah had his, but I'm like, six months? I can do 6 months. That's nothing. But it's also like,
9 months maybe to a year.
Really?
He,
when was this? I really do not remember.
He probably got him off about a year ago, I would say.
Wow.
But yeah, he would say it was like, it's usually the day after he would go in and they would get your next fitting, like the new one on, that would be like, oh, okay, I feel it. But it would just last a couple days. When he, I remember when he first started, he felt like he was talking like this. It's like he was trying so hard to talk that he was making it worse.
Yeah.
But he got used to it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan, but I'm also like, eh, 6 months, like, it'll go by like that. Nights, weekends, you know, Mondays, take out showers.
Monday's already done, and Tuesday doesn't even really count.
But what I don't like, you get like the buttons on your teeth, which is what right. like...
That they like click onto yeah. or something, yeah.
First of all, Dennis said... Dentist.
Not Dennis. Dennis Nedry.
Dentist said, yeah, your we're 23 hours a day.
Yeah.
So basically just take it out to eat,
yeah.
brush your teeth. Yeah. That's it. The book that comes with it says... Wear them how your doctor said, and then in parentheses, it said, like, likely 20 to 22 hours a day. I'm like, that's a big difference. I'm not just going to take them out just for the heck of it, but I'm like...
But you don't want to be stressed out.
Yeah. Like
if you brush your teeth so I don't know you forget if they to put them back in, and you're 20, like, oh, my God.
Well, I assume they say 23, knowing you probably won't hit 23, and you'll probably end up in that 20 to that's 22 pretty, range.
I think that's what Noah's dentist told him. Yeah.
His dentist was named Dennis. Prentice,
yeah,
Dennis Crentist.
His dentist, the menace.
But yeah, I don't know. I hate it already, and I'm just like, ugh. I knew it was one of the things where I kind of felt like I had to just take the plunge because I knew I didn't want to do it.
The nesty plunge.
I just had to like do it.
You got to either just yeah.
If I just thought about it too much, I wouldn't do it. I'm like, happen. I need to just yeah. do it, and now I'm like, now I'm committed, but I hate it. They said, and I agree, they're like, you'll probably lose a few pounds.
Because you don't want to eat.
I'm not going to want to take them out yeah. to have like a bag of chips or something during the day. They said if I drink coffee or like red wine, anything that can like stain, yeah. I think it's more about Coke. The buttons, yeah. not your teeth or your Invisaligns, but the buttons. Hmm. So I've apparently got pretty white teeth. Not pretty, not beautiful white teeth. But like, fairly white teeth because they gave me like the whitest buttons they had.
If money was no object, I would get veneers. I would get the Roman Reigns treatment in a heartbeat.
The Dwight Schrute.
Yes.
But they're like, those will stain relatively easily. Hmm. So they're like, if you drink, basically don't, but if right. you have to, drink it with
if
a straw.
You have to drink wine.
Well, or coffee. And I'm like, now that it's getting to summer, I'll start drinking iced coffee anyway, so I will so drink it with a straw, but I'm just like...
Oh, I do remember the straw thing with Noah, too.
There's just yeah. all these things that I'm like... And I don't know how... I can get them in pretty quick, but taking them out, it's disgusting. There's like strings of drool. It's like all over my shirt, all over my fingers. I'm like, how am I going to do this, like... In public, like at a restaurant and stuff?
You're not going out to dinner for the next 6 months.
It's the worst.
You got to go to the bathroom and just take it out in there in the stall so no one can see you at the sink.
Then, oh yeah, so the buttons when you're eating. So we just did like grilled cheese and soup for dinner. So I don't know if it's because it was bread, but like there's no way to tell the difference between these buttons on your teeth and food on your teeth.
Oh.
And so I'm like, is that food? No, that's a button. Is that food? Oh, yeah, that was food.
That food.
And I'm like, I'm going to have to brush my teeth after every, which is not a bad thing. You probably should anyway. But like, I'm going to have to brush my teeth after every meal because I don't know. It just feels disgusting. And I don't know. So I've had these for like 3 hours and I'm already just over it. But
that's hilarious. Yeah. Well, see, I think I was pretty good about wearing my retainer. Did Tootsie get yours or mine?
Mine.
Multiple times. Didn't she chew it multiple times or was it just once?
I feel like I had both kinds. I think I had the one with like the metal bar and then I had the one that was basically Invisalign, just like a plastic shell.
Oh, I never
She definitely got the plastic shell. And I don't know if I switched from the regular one to the plastic one because she also ate the original one.
Right.
Or I don't know what caused me to make the switch, but I know she ate the plastic one at one point.
And also, was it a correlation or a causation?
I know when you had yours, I remember one time we were out on the sandbar in the freezing cold Black River.
Oh my God, yes.
And you lost it.
How though? It just popped out, I guess?
You were probably like underwater and came up and...
Oh, yeah, I'm drinking that lovely black river water.
But we found it. And
I do remember that. I had forgotten that, but I do remember that. Sheba, what was I going to say? Something about Noah. It was about the Invisalign. What were we talking about? It probably doesn't matter.
Drool? Slobber?
No, it was after that. It was like 2 seconds ago.
The buttons? Food?
Buttons,
eating,
food.
Brush your teeth?
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Mine have moved a little bit, like these down here. They've kind of like one's
like,
kind of in front of the other.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I ain't doing that. I don't care.
Mine aren't that bad. I'm doing it more just to like open my teeth up.
That's
and
so
they're
weird.
Like, and they showed me the animation and like, it does go whoop. And they're like, and while we're doing it, we can also kind of fix this because like, it'll straighten them up a little bit. But like,
so weird.
I don't think they're that bad.
Oh.
But.
No, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say that it was either Barkley or Bella got Noah's one time. And like, I think it was his top one. And they just kind of chewed like the molar section. So he just kept wearing it because it was just like a few days until he went to his next one. And I was like, you got to wear it, man. I don't want to get off schedule and. Yeah. Well, that was fun. I have witty banter because I need a therapy session. Not because of everything going on in life right now. That's enough. I don't want to even talk about that. Tomorrow, as we're recording this, is the NFL draft. Now, you know, if you've been watching us, listening to us for a while, we like to talk football. We like to talk fantasy. We like to talk all this stuff. Our team is the Giants. We are picking number 6.
Mm-hmm.
The last time we picked number 6 was... 2019 or was it 2018? Which draft did we get Danny? Because Danny was the number 6 pick.
It was 20.
Is this his 6th year or his 5th year?
It's 2019.
We didn't pick up his 5th year option.
Because that was the one in Nashville. That's the one I went to.
We're going in.
Kira was 6th. Just born.
Yeah.
It was the year before COVID. Yeah, that was 2019.
So last time we had the number 6 pick, we didn't really make the best pick, I would say. Now, all along, first off...
What other quarterbacks were in that draft? Like, who could we have gotten that went...
Oh, the guy from Ohio State. Thank God. I mean, he's even worse than Danny Dimes. Did he die? I think he died.
Oh, the guy that died?
Yeah.
Well, I was talking more... who did we miss out on? Not how could it have been worse? I know that was a weak quarterback draft.
Well, but there was a conversation, like, who should be... who should the Giants take at 6? Because obviously Eli's at the end of his rope. QB's drafted in 2019. Oh, wait, what? Yeah, okay. Number 1 was Kyler. Seems like he's been in the league longer than that.
Yeah.
Jared Stidham went in the 4th round. Easton Stick, 5th round. Gardner Minshew, 6th round. I almost would rather have him. It's not fair to Danny. Wait, no. Drew Lock in the 2nd round, who is now on our team. Daniel Jones at number 6. Dwayne Haskins, that was his name, at 15 to the, at that time, Redskins. Will Greer from West Virginia, I remember him, to the Panthers. Ryan Finley, I don't even remember him, to the Bengals. Clayton Thorson to the Eagles in the 5th round. And Trace McSorley, I think he's still hanging around.
That's an awful quarterback.
He went to the Ravens in the 6th round. Yeah, so I mean,
that's
not
a terrible,
like,
draft.
It's not like we could have got much better than what we did. But so now we're picking 6th. Quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3 for sure. And then the draft starts at 4. If I'm Arizona, they have so many picks already in this draft. I'm not doing nothing. You would have to give me the offer of all offers to get me to move off of Marvin Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
If it's me, I say thanks, but no thanks. Marvin Harrison, boom. Number 5, Chargers. That was weird. I tried to do one accent and it turned into 2. The Chargers are picking 5th. If they stay, I think that means... I don't think they're going to take a receiver. I think they're either going to take Alt or they're going to take the right tackle from Bama.
They have no receivers.
I know, but that's not how Harbaugh, he's going to build it from the inside out. He's going to build up the lines. He's going to punch people in the mouth. They're going to run the ball. That's what he wants to do. And then at six, it should work out perfectly for the Giants that we can take our pick of the other two best receivers, either Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze. And I'm really starting, the more and more I study this, if you want Dak, I'm sure he's available. No, thank you. Not for $60 million a year. I think I like a Dunze better because, like, I was listening to Peter Schrager today, and he said it's Roma Dunze and Joe Alt, I think, when he's been talking to executives and stuff, they are the only two players that there is literally – that they are clean, as they call it in the draft. There are no negatives. There's no – injury history, there's no character issues, there's no, well, but then this, like, we've already got Jalen Hyatt, who can be a speed demon. Wandale Robinson's pretty fast. I don't think we need Malik Nabers. I think we need Roma Dunze. Now, if we take Malik, I don't care, I'm fine with that. But what scares me to death, and I wanted to do this even before I sent you that text, but JJ McCarthy goes on the Rich Eisen show today, and Rich is like, so do you think you know where you're going? He's like, yeah, I mean, I kind of have an idea. Giants. I mean, I've spent the most time with the Giants throughout this process. I'm like,
I don't have a huge problem with that. I certainly would not want to trade up.
Position players. There is no point in taking a quarterback until we have a team around him.
I mean, you just said we've got Hyatt. We've got
name another
Robinson.
Right. So our number one receiver is actually a number three at best, and our number two is a four. We have nothing. We got Devin Singletary in the background. Now, I will say, I love what we did in the offseason, other than getting rid of Saquon. I hate that so much. But the offensive lineman we signed, I love. The trade for Brian Burns, I freaking love. And giving him an extension. So now we've got him and Thibodeau on the ends of the lines with Dexter Lawrence. And you don't, on paper at least, that's one of the best defensive lines in the league. After that, we don't have much. But to me, it's just we've got to get a receiver. Because poor Daniel Jones, the entire time he's been there, I don't think he's had a legit number one receiver. We signed Kenny Galladay a few years ago. That was a mistake. That dude was, oh my God.
Talk about, but does Jones look like he sucks because we don't have a receiver, or do our receivers look like they suck because we don't have a quarterback?
That's funny. I actually hadn't looked at it that way.
I mean, I do believe it's probably a little bit of both, maybe a lot of bit of both. But it's not like whatever his name was, or
that's what I was going to say. I got so mad at Mom for being so happy when Tommy DeVito was winning games. I'm like, he's not an NFL player. Why are you happy? We need to be losing either to try to get up to one and get Caleb, or to get Marvin Harrison.
But yeah, DeVito and the other guy.
Yankees won, yay.
Tyrod. Neither really lit it up. But they played a lot better than Daniel Jones. Like,
well, but we also we didn't have Andrew Thomas out there when Daniel Jones got hurt. We had a couple other injuries along the offensive line, I think. He just got his ass beat so bad. And as the year went on, we did start to get more people back. Evan Neal kind of started to play better.
Yeah.
But I just thought when we hired Brian Daboll, Daniel Jones, I'm not saying he's going to be awesome, and I've never thought that. I do wonder what I would think if I was on the outside looking in, what we would think about Daniel Jones if he was not the Giants quarterback. Because obviously that's swaying us, because we want it to work. We want him to be good. But I remember thinking when Daboll came over, I was like, oh my God, Josh Allen is a bigger version of Daniel Jones. Like, Josh is stronger, Daniel's faster, Josh has a bigger arm, Daniel's more athletic, but it's like the way they play, I could see that offense translating perfectly. That has not happened. Even when we went to the playoffs 2 years ago, Danny threw 15 touchdowns and like 2,700 yards. Like, that was all Saquon and run pass option and Danny running like crazy until he played the Vikings, and then he threw for like 400 yards and four touchdowns, whatever it was. But yeah. I don't know. I just want to have a therapy session that I just am so worried we're going to screw this up. Saquon going to Philly turds was a slap in the face. Yes, it was a slap in the face. But I can't blame him because we didn't pay him. Like,
Okay, so sell me on Odunze. Who is he? Like a Odell, like a just good route runner, like catch a slant and take it 80 yards kind of player? Like,
first off, so he's, I just looked up his size. I was close in my head. He's 6'3", 215. He's a big body receiver.
I didn't realize he was that big.
He's a big receiver. He has a great catch radius. He has great hands. Everything you throw at him, he's going to catch. He's a really good route runner. He's just not as explosive as Malik Nabers. Like, he's not just going to... But we have... And even if... The funniest thing is Darius Slayton is holding out. Bruh. Read the room.
We've already got a George. We don't need him and Hyatt.
No, I know.
And they're the same. Like, we've got it's the Hyatt, same picture.
But, like, so think, so we've got Hyatt that is the deep threat. We've got Wandale in the slot running all over the place when he's healthy. And then you've got Odunze that – this is what I would compare him to. I'm not saying he will be this at all. And he's, I think he's a little bit faster than this guy was. But he reminds me – and I've been watching highlights and stuff of this. This is how I am going to be so depressed tomorrow when we screw this up. He reminds me of Larry Fitzgerald. The type of game he plays.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to run the route. He's going to get open. He's going to catch it. He might not run by everybody, but that's who he reminds me of. Hmm. And Marvin Harrison actually reminds me of Larry
Marvin
Fitzgerald.
Harrison.
Except, no, he might be better than his daddy. He's bigger than his daddy. He reminds me of Larry Fitzgerald with, I'm not going to say Tyreek or Randy Moss speed, but more speed. He's like a more speedy Fitzgerald. Like, he's just, he is like, he's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh. So, I don't know. Anything you want to add to my therapy session?
I don't know. I'm kind of ready to just get it over with. I don't know. I'm almost to the point now. Like, I think I agree with you. I'm ready to move on from DJ, but I don't think we take a quarterback. I think Daniels is the only one that I would be okay with at six. And I don't know that it's a smart pick, but I think it would be fun. It would make watching the Giants
that
interesting
would give us hope.
Again. Yeah.
Even if Drake May were to fall to us and we went with him, I'm starting to feel better about him, but that's not exciting. Again, because I don't know who he's going to throw the ball to, but at least with Jaden back there, it's not like anybody thought it would be like with the Colts last year. Anthony Richardson. Fast, strong, run all over the place. This is going to be fun. Same thing with Jaden.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, of course, he might get injured the first time he gets tackled.
Yeah. He'll be running for his life back there.
Well, hopefully not after these moves we made, but I don't know. All right, Sean, last thing before we get into video game stuff. Deadpool versus Wolverine got its first real trailer. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know who this Wolverine is. People are saying, and I cannot remember I think Days of Future Past kind of was like the first multiverse, right? Wasn't there like a timeline split there? And I was reading,
it wasn't really multiverse, it was just time travel, but yeah.
But then there was a split timeline, I think. But then it was like, who cares after that? But in the Logan timeline, yeah, there's more than one. Yeah, there's two timelines. In the Logan timeline, I think he said it in the movie, and I read this online, everybody's dead. The X-Men are all dead. We don't know what happened, if it was him. Remember, it was, yeah, because it was just him and Xavier that are alive. So we don't know if it's him. I finally figured out who the bad guy is, the bad girl. Did you read who she is? She's like Professor Xavier's little sister or something.
Is she like Magneto or something?
And when she's and he's like, ah! No, I think that's just her
telekinesis or whatever.
Stuff,
yeah.
I thought the opening shot, I was like, did they do this on purpose? Because this is the Wolverine PS5 teaser. It's the exact, the bar looks the same, everything. I'm like, I feel like that one meme with the lady. Like, is that the game? I'm very excited, cautiously optimistic. Now, I just watched Deadpool 2 for the first time, maybe like 6 months ago. Because I was like, it can't be as good as the first one. And
it
wasn't, but it was still
really just good. Fun.
Yeah, it's so stupid. And the way the ending, and then talk about the way Cable factors in, especially to the ending and stuff like that. It's cool how they did it. But like, I don't know. What are your thoughts on the trailer?
I told you, this is easily the most hyped I've been for a superhero movie since No Way Home. It's probably not quite that high, but it's up there. Love Ryan Reynolds. I love Hugh Jackman. I love Deadpool. I love Wolverine. Like, just get them together and let them,
who cares
let
why?
Them cook. Yeah, like, I don't know what the story is. I don't know how it's going to factor into everything. I kind of don't really care at this point.
Well, I assume it's
that was Marvel phase one, phase two, phase three. It was always like, ooh, how does this play into everything else? Now I'm like, I don't care. Just entertain me.
I assume it's got to have something to do with bringing the X-Men in. And maybe the Fanfor stick. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do, you see the little, what's his name?
Wong.
Wong's little portal yeah. thing.
Well, that could also be Ned doing it. Who knows?
Oh, that would be awesome.
But that was sweet. When they jumped in the portal, I'm like, it would be funny if they were like, you couldn't see them, but actually Wolverine and Deadpool were in Endgame fighting alongside everybody. There was just too much going on that you couldn't see. I just thought of that in my head. That would be freaking amazing. That.
But yeah, I can't wait.
But there's like, is Ant-Man dead or is that just a giant helmet?
I don't know. I was wondering about that.
Somebody, online, somebody said an Ant-Man corpse. I was like, I think it's just a helmet.
I mean, unless they're some they multiverse thing and he's dead and I don't know.
I will say, I wonder, back when the original X-Men movies came out, I was kind of bummed that everybody was just wearing black leather and stuff and I missed the comic book. But I was like, okay, I guess it would be weird to have Hugh Jackman running around in a yellow and blue suit or yellow and brown suit and Cyclops with bright blue and yellow. But then I see, so I knew he was going to be in the suit because like the images had leaked of them fighting and stuff. It looks freaking awesome.
It looks amazing. It seems very out of character for...
what's the reason?
Wolverine, yeah, like, I feel like the Wolverine we know and love from all these movies would not be caught dead in that suit. Right. And yet, there he is. So, I don't know how... I have no idea. I can't wait to see it, though.
Was it First Class? I think it was First Class. Because Xavier could still walk then, where Xavier and Magneto walked into the bar when they were trying to recruit mutants in the beginning, and then you see that Hugh Jackman's there, and they go to say something. He's like, go fuck yourself. And he's like, okay, we're out of here. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. Definitely going opening weekend. Definitely not taking my kids. Casey, you want to go see Deadpool 3? I do wonder... Is he going to have the mask at some point? I'm pretty sure I saw a leak that they at least made toys or something.
They've already given away that he's wearing the suit. I could see them saving the mask for more of a...
Save that for the movie.
Yeah.
Yep. I think it's the most I've looked forward to a Marvel movie since No Way Home. Because No Way Home was Christmas 21. It wasn't 2020, right? I think 2021 was the comeback year. Was Maverick 21? And No Way Home was at the end of 21?
Maybe.
Or was it 22? I don't know.
Hey.
Yeah. I don't know. Super excited. All right, Sean. Not a lot of news to talk about, so we are done with our witty... That's not what I meant to say. So we had witty banter. We are now done with witty banter. We will now talk video games. Sean, I want to hear about this. Is there anything else you've played besides that? No. All right. Tell me about getting the Monster Boy in Hunter's Kingdom Platinum or whatever it's called.
It was relatively straightforward. There was no option, you know, multiple endings, save scumming.
Is there difficulty? Okay.
No, but it gets... The difficulty ramps up quick.
Really?
At one point, yeah. Okay. It's a fantastic game. The Platinum, like I said, was very straightforward. It was very much a Metroidvania Platinum. Like, uncover the whole map, find all the collectibles. And I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, though. I mean, I assume there will be more if we get a new Monster Boy game. And it's, I don't know if they've all been Metroidvania.
No, back in the past, I think the one that I played on Genesis, it was still side-scrolling. It was still the same kind of look. You still had hearts for life and stuff. But I think it was level-based back then.
Okay. I mean, if they make more Metroidvania games of it, I'm 100% in. But yeah, I loved it. I think you should check it out.
I've downloaded it. I just haven't played it yet. But so I think last time we podcast, was that last week? Time means nothing to me right now. I'm so confused.
I think we took last week off. Because the week before that, we recorded on like Thursday or something.
Yeah, and now we're doing it late again this week. Last time we podcasted, you had only had, I think, like two of the transformations or whatever. How were the rest of them? How did they, like, you were kind of annoyed, I think. Weren't you?
So you start as the boy. Right. They turn you into the pig. He sucks. Then you get the snake. He also kind of sucks. After that, you get the frog, who was pretty normal. Like, you can use your sword. You can wear the different armor and boots and shields and all that. Then you get the... What? He's like some kind of a beast, like a wolf or a bear or lion or something.
Those are all very different.
I think he's a lion, but he's similar to the frog. He can wear all the armor, uses a sword, whatever. Then after that, you get the dragon, also similar, but can fly. So they got progressively better after the pig and the snake. Much better.
And you can freely swap between them? I forget. Once you unlock them, can you go like from pig to...
Yeah, you can swap them on the fly. And,
okay.
Yeah.
I think I want to play this. There's something about it that I'm like, yeah.
It's the kind of game that I think you would get hooked on. Like, it's beautiful to look at, and it starts you. It's just like, there's no... I get why you never got into Hollow Knight, because that game just kind of throws you into it and it's like, figure it out. This is very much, it just kind of just eases you in. Mm-hmm. I was hooked immediately. I don't know that you'll stick with it and beat it. You might, but I think you will be hooked immediately. I think you'll be like, oh yeah, this is fun.
How much longer is the platinum than just beating it? I think I read online it was like a 20-hour platinum or something.
That sounds about right. I don't think it doubles it. Maybe 12 to 15 hours, okay. And then maybe 20
at that point,
for the platinum,
I mean, if it is
or
just
something.
Go
like,
get the other stuff. Then I would, if I see it through, I would just get the platinum.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff.
Confirmed you took last week off. Thank you, John.
There was a lot of stuff that I had to look up guides for. Some of the puzzles I thought were not very, I don't know.
Fair?
Yeah, and then once you figure out what to do, it's like, oh, duh, like, that's easy. I just didn't know that was an option. I didn't know you could do that. Like, when you're the pig, you can do a butt stomp. Okay. And when you're any of the things that can wear armor, you can get these boots, these ice boots that let you walk on lava and turn it into like solid ground.
Okay.
And there's these like lava things.
Geysers.
Yes. And one of the parts, you have to put your ice boots on, walk on it to create the blocks, then switch to the pig and do your butt stomp to like knock it down and in the ground to be able to continue. I'm like, oh, I'm like, that's very easy, but I didn't know that was a game mechanic. So.
Oh, John says it's a fun game.
It's definitely fun.
So do you get the standard Metroidvania power-ups, like a double jump, a dash, or is all the power-ups, are they just the forms? You know what I mean?
You can double jump, but you learn it because it comes with one of the pairs of boots that you get. But you can upgrade all of your boots, armor, swords, shields, whatever. And each time you upgrade them, you tend to get either just better defense, more attack power, whatever. But a lot of the boots that you upgrade will be like, also adds a double jump. So you don't have to stay on your double jump boots to be able to double jump. You can use your ice boots and they gain double jump and stuff like okay. that. So, but yeah.
Cool.
But a lot of the thing, like when you have a small area that you can't fit into, you got to become the snake so you can crawl in there. So yeah, a lot of the powers are just switching between them. But it's got some of the classics too.
Cool. I'm definitely going to check this out after I finish the two games that I'm playing right now. Which do you want me to start with?
Let's do Infinite.
I am 11 years late to the party. However, I would like to say that I can now confirm 11 years later that BioShock Infinite is a freaking awesome game. Now, I had tried this before, and when I go back into my mind palace, I think the way I tried it, what I narrowed it down to was, because it was on PS Plus somewhere in like the last 2 years, and I didn't try it then. I tried it forever ago. I must have tried it on PS3, which means back. Now, remember in the days of PS3, not every game, but so many games had demos.
Yeah.
I miss that. I tried the demo, and I remember thinking something about it just wasn't clicking, the combat didn't seem right or something, and it just didn't work for me. So I never went back to it. I forgot about it. Then I don't even know when it was that we finally played it. 2 years ago, 3 years ago or something. Whenever it came to PS Plus, I played BioShock the first. And I had always heard what a fantastic game that was. I avoided it for so long because I knew the twist. I knew the would you kindly. So I was like, I don't know, how good is the game going to be without that? It turns out the game was freaking awesome. Now, the good thing about BioShock Infinite is at one point I knew what the twist was. Luckily, I've forgotten it. I'm starting to remember stuff. Like, I think there's something going on with this person and then that person, whatever. This game is phenomenal. Now, this is technically a remaster. This is a PS3 port to the PS4. Like, yeah. There's sometimes, like, if you get up close on something that's a circle, you could tell it's like, you know. The story in this is crazy. I did not know where it goes. This story, once you figure out, like, what Columbia, you know, the floating city is all about, and, like, the power dynamic there and everything, it's going to make you uncomfortable. And it's a good thing. That's what it's supposed to do. There are class struggles. There's all this kind of stuff. And it is so well done. I had forgotten Booker DeWitt is the main character. That's who you play as. I had forgotten.
Booger or Booker?
Booker.
Okay.
Not Booger McFarlane. Booger Red. Troy Baker. That's the first time I can remember Troy Baker being a thing. I think that might have been his first really big role. Well, no, because he had Joel that year too. That was 2013. So he must have been around before that. Yeah.
Wow.
The PS3 went out with a bang.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the PS4 did too, with Ghost, and no matter what I think about it, Last of Us Part 2. They both went out with a bang. But there is some supernatural stuff going on. Like, the sky is turning red and there's like all these alarms going on. Because you start off on the planet. The tertiary issue, and you go out to this tertiary issue. You go out to this lighthouse in a rowboat, and I was like, I don't remember this. So the demo must have just started.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay,
you go out there, and then you're in this lighthouse, and you're going up, and there's all these messages, and you find out that this isn't really a spoiler. You find out right at the beginning that Booker has been tasked with infiltrating the city of Columbia, retrieving a girl to pay off some debts he has, gambling, whatever. I don't know what it is. So that's the base of the story, and then it goes crazy from there. At one point, I heard May the Circle Be Unbroken playing, which is Troy Baker's song, and I can't remember. I guess it did come from BioShock Infinite, but he's played that at some, like, maybe when they did, like, the live reading of The Last of Us, him and Ashley Johnson. I feel like he might have played it there. It's a really good song. I know I can remember back on Kind of Funny when he talked about it. He was really emotional about it. So I need to go back and actually listen to it. But it's phenomenal. Now, I'm only like 7 or 8 hours in. I think I'm probably about halfway through the game. I looked up on how long to beat, and it's like, if you just go through the game, it's like 11 hours. I'm like, well, I'm not going to beat it in 11 hours. But I will say, one of the cool things is you should do a lot of exploring in this game. Like,
for lore and for stuff.
The lore is really cool. You find these things, they're called kinetoscopes, and it's kind of like you put your eyes into this thing, and then it like plays the old-timey music, and it's got all the pops and everything, and it shows this really crude video talking about something in the history. But there's ammo, there's weapons, there's everything around every corner. Like, you want to, one of the cool things is if you're not sure where to go and there's like a lot of different directions, you can push up on the D-pad and it says, okay, this is your objective. You want to kind of go in this direction. Yeah. What I use that for is, okay, they want me to go there.
I'm going here.
Yeah, exactly. The game is really cool. So you basically can carry 2 guns at a time. And then you've got your, they call them vigors in this. I think they were plasmids in BioShock. Does that sound right? Your like sounds magical right. Powers. So you can have one gun at a, 2 guns at a time. So you can only, that's the only thing. It's like very, it makes you really think about, okay, I know I'm low on ammo with this machine gun. Do I want to pick up the shotgun? Because that's got 20 shots in it. So it's good if I get close range, but my other weapon right now is the pistol, or do I want to just get rid of the pistol even though I've got a lot of ammo and just pick up the shotgun? I like that. And whenever you pick up ammo for guns you don't have, it goes into your inventory. So whenever you come upon that gun, a rocket launcher, whatever, it's not like you just have to do whatever's in that thing. So I like that. The vigors are cool, the different powers. There's like a power where you can take enemies over. There's a power that's like firebombs. There's a power that's like murderous alien crows you throw at people. It's crazy. It's super cool. Every time you get a power, there's this cool cutscene where Booker's like looking at his hands and everything just goes nuts. And then when you get to the point where you finally have Elizabeth, this game is a very much an escort mission. However, it's an escort mission that works. There's no Ashley getting picked up by zombies and you got to go kill him and bring her back. This is, and one of the things they tell you once you find Elizabeth and you break her out and then you're together, they're like, it pops up on the screen or something and it says, when you're in combat, don't worry, Elizabeth can handle her own. Whenever there's combat, she doesn't handle her own, she just goes and hides. So it's fine. Yeah. But the cool thing is, also, I've not died in this game. I'm playing it on normal and I am not good at video games, so that's weird. If you get low on health, so you've got, there's 3 like bars that you have. There's a shield bar, there's a health bar, and then there's your salts bar, which is for all your vigors. And the way the health works is your shield goes down as you take damage, but you don't lose HP until your shield is gone. Once your shield is gone, or when, if you're being hit, like the screen will flash yellow and it looks like the screen's broken and stuff, you go take cover for a couple seconds, your shield recharges, you're good to go, go back out there and shoot. What I've noticed is I'm not going as guns blazing as I used to, because one of the things I realized was happening is in my mind I'm like, well, I've got the shield and then I've got health. It seems like once your shield goes down, you take damage like you're almost like you're a real person getting shot. So you got to be careful. That's Dad in the spaceship dropping off Noah. It's fantastic. What?
People are like, what?
It's Dad in the spaceship. Oh, yeah. My parents have a hybrid, and I always say it sounds like a spaceship. I haven't played Infinite, but I'm sure I'll enjoy it over The Last of Us. I don't know. This, it's fantastic.
It's so loud.
I know. And there's some of these, you get like, one of the cool things in this, one of the traversal things is you get early on, once you go from just walking around to combat mode, you kill somebody and you take away their, like, I don't even know what they call it in this, but it's like a thing that you hold in your hand. It's metal. It's got like 3 big, like, things. And what you can do is you can use it to melee people. And you can also use it. There's all these rails that go, because the city is floating, but the city is a lot of different land masses. And you go on these railways with this thing to get from here to there and stuff like that. You can shoot while you're on it and everything. It's a good way to get out of combat. You can jump. You can like stealth people from up there. If you go on a thing, you aim at somebody down there, you go down, you one hit shot them. It's awesome. Dang, what was I going to say? Combat, the thing. Oh, I had it and then it went out again. Oh, that's what it was. The controls. The controls start out in this. You can tell it's a PS3 game. How do you think you aim down sights?
L2. Or you click.
You click R3.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh. Once I noticed that, I was like, maybe this is why I stopped playing it. Because even in 2013, I was like, this is stupid. Like, we were doing this on Resistance 1 in 2006. Why are we still doing this? But luckily, you can't map the controls however you want, but I think there's three different options. The second option is L2 to look down sight. Thank God. Now, what I did, though, is, so, like, triangle switches between your two weapons. L1 fires your vigor. R1 switches them. Yeah, but L1, or whatever it was. Now I can't, when I'm playing it, I know what's happening. But before I switch the controls, L1 was your reload, or like, no, it was like your switch vigors button or something. So when I first switched the controls, I was like, okay, let me switch to something, and I hear you just go, oh my gosh. No, I changed the controls. That was the only downside to it, but once I realized you could change the controls, and I got used to them after like a half hour, I was retrained on it. But there's some weird stuff going on in this game. Like I said, I kind of remember some things about what's actually going on, but I have no idea how we're going to get there. But I'm very interested to see it through. And you have got to play this game.
Yeah, I want to.
If you just give it an hour, I think you'll be hooked.
Yeah. I don't think I ever even got to any of the combat stuff.
I think the first time I tried it, I didn't get to the combat stuff. And I was like, what the hell are we doing? This was before Firewatch, Gone Home, everything. I was like, is this like,
right.
Am I just going to walk around? I knew you weren't, but I was just... But then the next time I tried it, I was like, okay, there's combat and I don't like it, and I quit. But yeah. 11 years late, but Bioshock Infinite is freaking awesome. Hopefully by the next time we podcast, again, because we're podcasting late in the week, we're not going to, I don't know. Our schedule's all crazy now, so we probably won't. Hopefully the next time we podcast, I've beaten it. We'll see. And Elizabeth, that was one thing. I forgot to say, when you're in combat, when you're in combat, once you have Elizabeth with you, what'll happen is, your shield's going down. If your life goes down, you can't push up on the D-pad to like do a Bloodborne, you know, Elden Ring thing. But Elizabeth will go like, hey, catch this. And she'll throw you some health. Hmm. The good thing is after you fight these rooms of enemies, you'll find there's lots of stuff you can loot. Like there's like a lockbox. You go in there and then there's cotton candy, whatever. You can eat a bunch of stuff that gets you your health back. But it's cool that she does that. She also, I noticed, when you're walking through the world, you can get lock picks in this game because Elizabeth is really good at picking locks. Some doors take one lock pick. Some take, I think I've seen them up to 5 or 6. But one of the things I noticed, like I said, you want to explore everything. This one time I thought I had explored everything, but I hadn't. And then Elizabeth says, oh, hey, come check this out. I found a lock pick. And I was like, wow. We're doing this in 2013 and now we're in like 2024 and NPCs don't behave like this.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. But the game is fantastic. I can't wait to beat it. But today I will say I tried out a brand new game that just came out today. I only played it for about an hour or so. I was worried about this. I think the only review I read was Push Square. It's like a 75, 76 on Metacritic, so whatever. But I remember them saying like it felt like it was plotting and the jump like stuff was weird. I don't know. Tales of Kinzara. Zao. Metroidvania, free on PS Plus Extra and Premium. One of the first things I thought was hilarious was as you're going through the initial setup, when you pull up the game, it's like you go through the, like, adjust the brightness, blah, blah, blah. And then you get to, do you want to play in graphics mode or performance mode? I'm like, well, are we really doing this for this kind of game? Like, Prince of Persia didn't do that. It's just the game, you know? The game's really pretty. There's a story there that I don't know much about yet. Basically, the way it breaks down is you have a... You're trying to not avenge your father's death or your baba's death. I think that's his dad. I don't know. They say lots of weird words in this. But you go and you talk to the spirit of the dead, who really is just a dude. And it's like, hey, you've always wanted these three spirits to like work for you or something. If I go kick their asses, will you give me my dad back and bring him back from the dead? And he's like, yeah, sure. Well, I'll go on the adventure with you. So I don't know. And then he just disappears into you because he's a dead. He's like this. He's like Hades or something, I guess.
Yeah.
Except he's nice. But so you've got two different ways of attacking, and this is cool. So you've got, it kind of reminds me of, is Time Spinner 2 supposed to come out this year?
Oh,
I should have drafted that. You've got a moon mask and a sun mask, and you can switch between them with L1. So square is your light attack, triangle is your heavy attack. When you're wearing the moon mask, your light attack is you shoot lasers. I think as you go on, you can shoot more at one time, but when you start out, you can shoot 8. And then if you don't use them all up, after a couple seconds, they'll reload. If you go through all of them, then you got to wait a little bit longer for it to reload. Triangle with that is it's a melee attack. So it's almost like it's like when you're using that, it's almost like you're playing a side scrolling Metroidvania, like it's a first person shooter. Where it's like you're shooting people, and then if they get up close, boom, you knock them back.
Yeah.
The sun mask is all melee, so it's squares, light attack, triangles, heavy. It's just a normal thingamajiggy. So yeah, you can switch the masks. You get a double jump right from the start. You get a dash, an air dash right from the start. It seems pretty cool. Now, I don't know. There's already a couple things I've noticed, and I know this doesn't make sense, and it's not their fault. They've got a system just like Prince of Persia had, like with the amulets.
Mm-hmm.
But they're called trinkets in this. And you get more trinkets so you can attach more powers to yourself. And you can only have some active at one time. I was like, this is literally the amulets from Prince of Persia. Obviously, yeah. They're not emulating that when the games both came out this year. John says he's mixed on Zao. It seems like you have the dash, double jump, etc. Wish I had to earn all enhancements. So that's what I wonder, what the actual power-ups are going to be that you get in this.
Yeah.
Well, you can also do a super attack because you've got your life bar and then you've got your spirit bar underneath it. And it's basically think of it like Street Fighter 2 super attacks. Like you've got two bars and they build up after you're killing enemies and stuff. You can use one bar and just hit up on the D-pad to heal. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can let it build up and you can use two things to do your super attack, which is L3 and R3 together. If you're in the moon, it's like a Shinku Hadouken. If you're in the sun mode, I didn't try it yet, but it's some kind, I think you just light on fire and pull people in and stuff. It seems cool. There's fast travel. The first power up I did get is this power up that you go through this kind of platforming challenge that was pretty easy. It was just like you're in rushing water and you got to like duck under spikes and then jump over spikes and stuff. It was not Prince of Persia levels of difficulty. And I got through it without even getting hit. But then you get a power up which lets you, oh, and you can hold L2 to aim like in Metroid if you're doing the ranged attack. But now you get it, if you hold L2, now you can do R2 and you freeze water. So like these areas where there's all these waterfalls, now you can freeze the waterfall and it doesn't stay frozen forever, but you can jump. You get wall jumps also from the beginning. So it's really cool. I like it so far. Again, I am not very far into it at all. But I'm liking it so far. You should definitely play it. And I mean, it's free. Why not? And it's a game that actually can, we're not, I don't know how many games we're going to play this year.
Yeah.
I forgot it. I was going to say something. There's fast travel. Yep. I lost it. I don't know. It's really good. It's really fun.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
I like it. All right, Sean. I'm not even going to call this the news of the week because really there's only one thing and it's not even news. I just kind of want to discuss this and we can... Yeah, we're already almost at an hour. Okay. Sean, should you be able to tip video game developers?
Sure.
All right, now it's time for the wrap-up.
I think you can tip anybody you want to. I don't think it should be expected.
So the reason this comes up, if you didn't see it, but last week I think it was Mike Ybarra, who is, used to be the president of Blizzard, was tweeting this. I think he tweeted it. It doesn't say who. Anyways, I've thought about this idea for a while as a player, since I've been diving into single-player games lately, wrote Ybarra on Twitter. When I beat a game, there are some that just leave me in awe of how amazing the experience was. At the end of the game, I've often thought, quote, I wish I could give these folks another $10 or $20 because it was worth more than my initial $70, and they didn't try to nickel and dime me every second. Games like Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War, Red Dead Redemption 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Elden Ring, etc. I know $70 is already a lot, but it's an option at the end of the game I wish I had at times. Some games are that special. I know most will dislike this idea. I realize we are tired of tipping and everything else, but I view this different from a pressure to tip type scenario many face and give feedback on.
Yeah, there's no pressure whatsoever. I say, yeah, go for it. Add it. I'll probably never use it, but yeah, put it in there.
So VG, this comes from VG247, who said, in today's episode of How Do We Let These People Run Massive Companies, Mike Ybarra said, blah, 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 blah. Elden Ring was worth more, and Elden Ring was only 60. Elden Ring was worth more than 60. GTA 5, the amount of, everything I've gotten out of that game is way more than the $60 I spent on it. I mean, I bought it three times. Well, no, I bought it twice, and then it was free on PS5 upgrade, but whatever. I don't really have a problem with this. If you don't want to do it, you wouldn't have to do it.
I have no problem with the option, but I'm guessing the stance that some of these people are taking against it is to say that, you know, the big wigs will use that as a reason to not just pay their people more, and I get that, but like,
if you make a game good enough, you'll get tips.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that, but they're making what they're making. I don't think they're going to all of a sudden be like, hey, guess what? You have to take a pay cut because now we're going to let people tip you. They're going to make them take a pay cut. They're going to keep making what they're already making and maybe a little bit more. Like,
it could just be an over the years thing or something.
Yeah.
My thing is, you got some games that, like, who are you tipping? You've got some games that you have literally 1,000 people have worked on between contract work and external companies and QA and all that. Who are you giving the money to? All this talk about...
Wait, and like, here's $10. Like, everybody, it's
0.00000001. Like, my tips are buying DLC, John says. If I could tip the developer, it better go to the people that make the game and not somebody, and not Sony or EA. There you go. It's like, how do you... All this talk about video game devs should be unionizing and stuff. I could see that being a big issue with this. Like, I don't know. And the idea doesn't bother me as much as I saw a lot of people bothered by it, because it's an opt-in thing. It's not like you're sitting there at you go to pick up some takeout food,
right?
And they're like, here you go. And the first
it's going to ask you a question. I don't know what it says.
Like,
but.
I'm not. I don't care. I'm like, I am so over this. I'm not tipping you. Yeah. People that should be tipped, I tip, and I tip well. Whenever I go to Subway, when I drop Nick off at Guitar, right next to him, there's a Subway. I'll go in and get a soda. If their kids are with me, I'll let them get chips or whatever. Friggin' Subway. I grabbed my chips. I grabbed my cup. I'm going to fill it up with Coke. And that friggin' thing says, would you like to tip?
They made your sandwich.
I don't get a sandwich. That's what I'm saying. Oh. That's what I'm saying. I did everything myself. You should be tipping me. So I don't have a problem with it. I just don't know why everybody's got to get mad about everything.
Yeah.
Is what I think it comes down to.
Pretty much.
All right, Sean, now it is time for the wrap-up. Ghost of Tsushima PC version is getting a PlayStation overlay, crossplay, and trophy support. The overlay will include your PSN friends list, trophies, different PlayStation settings, and access to your profile. Now, the trophies are the PS5 trophies. They didn't make, like, a whole other trophy list for people like Colin that want to go Platinum Forbidden West on three different machines or something like that. But there is also support for achievements from Steam and Epic Game Store as well. So that's cool. This next item just pisses me off. It has been reported that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is, quote, underperforming, end quote. Why do we say quote, unquote, and then you say the word? That's why my brain just froze right there. We always say, quote, unquote, underperforming. It should be, quote, like I just, it should be, quote, underperforming, end quote.
I think people do it both ways.
With one word, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's been reported that it has sold half of what Final Fantasy VII Remake did in the same time frame. And I wrote down here, no fucking shit, you stupid idiots.
You didn't write you stupid.
No fucking shit, idiot. Do you remember what year Final Fantasy VII Remake came out?
2020.
Do you know how many PlayStation 4s were in the wild at that time, give or take?
100 and...
Exactly. Million. 100 something million. Where are we at on PS5 now? I don't remember, but I think it was like 53 million or something. You had double the amount of systems out there. Why are you mad that Rebirth isn't selling as much as the game that had twice as many people available to sell to?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? The game is freaking awesome. Ignore my previous... The dude that made... The art, I don't know. Is that what it says? I don't know. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me? This makes no freaking sense.
Well, yes, I agree. But it also, it's like, let's just stop making video games.
Exactly.
Every single video game you make underperforms, it seems like. Just stop. Just stop making games. Let's just kill the whole industry. Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
It also came out from the devs, though, that Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 3 is targeting a 3-year development cycle. They've got the world built. They've got a lot of stuff there. They're going to keep on Unreal Engine 4. They've brought back almost all the staff, which is what also happened from Remake to Rebirth. Almost everybody that worked on the game came back. That's fantastic. This game is definitely coming out in 3 years because 2027 is the 30th anniversary. They're not missing that.
Wow.
Especially when you think Rebirth came out in February. Even if we're talking November 27, that's almost 4 years at that point of dev time. I think we're going to get it in 2027.
Maybe it'll be 2-7-27.
Yeah. Hades 2 technical test took place over this past week. Still no date on early access. Sean, I don't know if you're going to get a score this year, but did you watch this? How you feeling?
I haven't watched it. One of the YouTubers that he plays a lot of Mario Maker, I saw played it, and I didn't watch the video. I don't know why. I should just watch it, but I got the gist from it that he loved it.
Yeah,
looks like it's just more Hades, which is fine, but yeah. Like, yeah,
it's just Hades with a different character who has different attacks and stuff like that. I think the dude that made the statement was misguided. Oh, okay, he's talking about, I think the dude that made the statement was misguided and no one reached out for clarification, talking about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Okay, hopefully that's true. Some more news came out on PS5 Pro. Apparently there will also be a quote-unquote ultra, I did it again, ultra boost mode to make old games run better without being quote-unquote PS5 Pro enhanced. Also, Moore's Law is Dead put up a video on YouTube about the PS5 Pro specs, and Sony gave him a copyright strike. So obviously, Icarus flew too close to the sun. We know this thing is real, but now we officially know it's real. Well, I mean, all but officially know it's real.
Yeah. I don't think that means that the specs are right.
Right. But
I don't think they'd be like, ooh, they got one of the specs wrong. Eh, we won't hit him with a strike. I mean, they're going to strike you regardless, but...
But there was,
it's definitely real.
Oh, I think what it was is because he was referencing, someone had leaked to him, one of his sources, like design documents about the PS5 Pro. And that's why they were like, okay, this is too far.
Yeah.
Nintendo announced they are skipping Gamescom this year, which I wrote down is further indication that we are not getting Super Switch this year.
Yeah.
City Skyline 2 DLC is being refunded after the dev admits that they, whoops, we rushed it out. Sorry, shouldn't have done that. And now the future paid DLC is being delayed, as well as the console version of City Skyline 2 is being delayed again as well. I just find this humorous, so I put it in here. Keanu Reeves is voicing Shadow in Sonic 3.
Whoa. I dig it.
I
don't know anything about Shadow.
I think he was Adventure, right?
I have no idea.
So we've got Keanu versus Idris Elba versus somebody.
Ben Schwartz,
yeah. There was an indie showcase on Switch. We once again did not get a release date for Silk Song, but I've been saying all along it's coming at the Xbox showcase, so I wasn't worried about that. However, the only game I really cared about in there that I wanted to talk about here was that TMNT Splintered Fate was announced for console. It's coming to Switch in July. It's a timed exclusive, so it'll come to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC at some other time. They haven't set the price yet, but this, if you're not familiar with it, Sean and I played this last year on Apple Arcade. It's Hades, but Ninja Turtles.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But I was also like, I don't really want to play this.
Yeah.
Because it's on my iPad.
Exactly.
But PS5, yeah, I'll get it day one.
So I'm excited for it. Kena Bridge of Spirits has been rated for release on the Xbox Series consoles. It's been a PlayStation and PC exclusive since 21. In my mind, this already came to Xbox, but I must have been thinking about PC.
Maybe, yeah.
It's weird. Darkest Dungeon 2 was announced after leaking. It's coming to PS4 and PS5 on July 15th. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 is out this year on PS5, Xbox, and PC. Braid Anniversary Edition has been delayed 2 weeks to May 14th. That's important for me because I've only got one score so far. At least it's a good one with Unicorn Overlord. That better give me like at least an 85. I drafted it hoping for something 90 around because the first one was super highly rated, but I feel like just because like Last of Us 2 was like a 94. Then the remastered version comes out and it's a 90. It's like, well, this is still good, but we already have George. Switch Online updates. Super R-Type, Wrecking Crew 98, and Amazing Hebereki are coming to Switch Online. This is the first release for that game outside of Japan. Octopath Traveler, I forgot about this, but it had been delisted for some reason on Switch in March, and now it's back, and Square has not made any comments or anything.
Weird.
So, I don't know what happened there. We're going too far with these video game adaptations. I have not watched Fallout yet. I want to watch Fallout, but for some reason, there's a Golden Axe animated series coming to Comedy Central.
This is, like, legit?
Yes.
Not a rumor.
It's announced. They said who's writing it and all this stuff. Yeah.
Weird.
I called it at a suspicion. Switch 2 wouldn't come out. Nintendo's making money. Why should they move to the next system? Idiots like me are still buying games and systems. Yeah. Well, idiots not like you, like all of us. I don't know why we need a Golden Axe series. Now, I get it that, remember, Sega has announced they're bringing back all those old IP. So maybe that's why. Unsurprisingly, Baldur's Gate 3 won Best Game at the BAFTAs because it just has to win every Game of the Year award except ours. Last but not least, I just thought this because it's not just video games that get delayed. It's also theme parks based on video games. The Donkey Kong part of Universal Studios Japan, I called it DLC here, has been delayed from spring into sometime later in 2024. And I just think that's funny that the DLC for Super Nintendo World has been delayed. That's it for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thank y'all so much for being here. We will be back next time. But until that time, Sean, go ahead and take us out.
Thank you for playing.